Okay, we'll be finishing Master Plan Evangelism series, and hopefully we will learn much with regards to what we need to do, and we'll have a chance to practice that from next week for the evangelistic meeting and all that. Okay, and thank God for the timing also. All right, listen to John 15:16, all right, as we finish today with the Master series of evangelism. And we have gone through 8 principles, and very quickly, once again, the recap of the 8 principles. Number 1 is the selection, all right, and God selects. And then for us, when we actually disciple people, we need to be prayerfully asking God, who is the one that you want me to follow up with? Then after the association, after God has called us to follow up someone, we need to associate with them closely. Then after the consecration, after that, we need to help them to a place whereby the new convert comes to the stage of consecration, obedience to Christ. Then after that, the impartation. I just quick review of the different principles first. The impartation, are we receiving the life of Christ? And are we imparting the life of Christ to other people as we follow them up? Then after that, as we impart, we demonstrate the model of Christ to them. Then after that, we allow them to do some of the work of the Christian work so that they can get used to it. And later on, delegating. And today we're going to be talking about reproduction, okay, reproducing of ourselves. In John 15:16, let's read the verse, then we'll pray, then we'll go through the simple lesson on what does it mean to reproduce for Christ. Okay, let's read John 15:16, ready? 1, 2, go. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, even as we have this Sunday school lesson, Lord, we know in the Sunday Bible hour is always a time we learn some basic principles, Lord, of thy word, the doctrines of your word, that we may grow thereby. And Father, we know that learning the Bible will not help us grow. It's living it that will help us grow. And so we pray, Father, we will not just come for a time of listening, but we will come, Lord, with the intention to listen, to obey. And Father, this is the climax of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the outcome, Lord, that you want every believer to have in their life. And I pray through this simple lesson, we will begin to realize in our lives what is so necessary that we might produce the fruit that you ask us to produce. Lord, we are weak people. We need your help. We ask you, Lord, to teach us through the Holy Spirit today that we might leave this place, Lord, determined in our hearts to do the right thing, that we might grow. Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, John 15:16. Okay, just a quick focus on that particular verse. Okay, I hope you have the notes. Now, the Bible says here, Jesus actually told the disciples in one of the last messages he will preach to the disciples before he went to the cross. He said in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Okay? The Lord Jesus told the disciples in very clear terms, it's not you who have chosen me, but I have chosen you. And by now, the disciples knew that the Lord Jesus was the Messiah. Okay? Although they are not too sure what will transpire in terms of the understanding of the Bible, but they do know that He is their Master, He is their Lord, and He is supposed to follow them. Or rather, they are supposed to follow Him. Jesus says, I have chosen you and appointed you. So which means that for the disciples, it's not merely a choice by Christ, but also an appointment. There's a choosing and an appointment with delegated authority to them. And what are they to do? 3 things. Number 1, they are to go. They are to bring forth fruit. And the last part, that their fruit should remain. I say again, they are to go, they are to bring forth fruit, and that the fruit will remain. The fruit will remain. And this is an important purpose because sometimes we go, but when there's no fruit, we say, okay, Lord, then that's God's will. But the Lord Jesus made it clear that I want you to go so that you can bring forth fruit and that your fruit will remain, will stay, that people can see. Okay, let's turn to 1 Peter 2:9. Okay, 1 Peter 2:9. In application of this principle to our life, some people say, oh, Rajani, you know, these people, they are apostles, you know, specially chosen by God. But look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter told the Jewish Christians, not the apostles, told the Jewish Christians this thing. 1 Peter 2:9 says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a set apart, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yesterday we had a youth outing, and I heard this testimony from one of the girls who joined us. She's not from our church, but apparently she wore, last week she didn't come, but she went to an overseas camp or something. And she wore the culottes that she bought. Okay, that we actually were actively trying to get the ladies to wear the culottes. And she wore the culottes to, I think, the camp. And yeah, went to the camp, right? Went to the camp. And the friends look at her, what is that? What is that, you know? And they said, it's a culottes. A what? They have never heard of that. And what, apparently what they said to her was, it looks weird, but it's nice. It looks weird, but it's nice. They've never heard of a culotte. Okay, and it was weird, but it's nice. Immediately this verse came to my mind. You know, God says you're a peculiar people. The word peculiar doesn't mean strange. The word peculiar means a special group of people. Okay? That was in the Old English. The word peculiar means a special group of people. Today, the words peculiar has a negative connotation, right? But in the times of the King James translators, it has a positive connotation. Just like the word, I'm not swearing, just like the word idiot. The word idiot in the times of the New Testament time was actually a good word. When you say someone is an idiot, it means the person is specially gifted. That doesn't give us the excuse today to go around calling people idiots, okay? Because it does have a negative connotation. Because in the Greek word idios, the word idiot from the Holy Spirit distribute the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:7, to everyone idios, to everyone separately as God have determined. So coming back to this, Peter says that every Christian is a chosen person by God, specially chosen by God. For what? In verse 9, that we may show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay? That we may show forth the praises. So if you think about this passage with what Jesus has said, what Jesus told the disciples is parallel to what Peter told the Jewish Christians, which means that we are the chosen people. Okay? Just like Israel were the chosen nation, we are chosen, set apart people that we may show forth the praises of God to the generation today. Okay? Let's turn to another verse, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Not only does Peter say that, Paul says the same thing. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 14 and 15. Okay? Verse number 14 and 15. Paul also says the fact that we are to shine forth as lights. Okay? In verse chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. In other words, do things without complaining and without fighting. Okay, that's what he says here, without disputing, argument. So that, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Paul is very clear about the role of the Christian in this world. It is to shine forth as lights. And as a result, the character and the personality of the Christian must be upright, must be consistent with God's holiness, so that they can shine forth as lights in a crooked and perverse generation. Alright, so hopefully that's clear. Coming back to John 15:16, we are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ today, the principle now about reproducing ourselves. Okay, I'll just go through a few points. The Lord Jesus Christ expected the disciples to reproduce. Okay, let me just take this. Hold on. And what He expected the disciples to reproduce his likeness in the souls won to Christ. He expected the disciples to reproduce, okay, those who are following along, reproduce his likeness in the souls won to Christ. When you realize this is a very simple thing in terms of, okay, we get saved, Christ, we become more Christ-like, we're supposed to show Christ-likeness to someone else and help the other person to become Christ-like. That is the whole plan that God has. That is the whole plan that God has. The disciples were expected to reproduce, not just disciples, but Christ-likeness in the souls won to Christ, so that the ministry of the Holy Spirit can be duplicated again and again by the disciples. Okay, I get saved, the Holy Spirit saved me, then I reach out to someone else and lead them to Christ and then teach them what it means to be Christ-like and continue from there. Okay? So, into the disciples, let's turn to Matthew 16:18, which we will be referring to. Matthew 16:18. Into the disciples was a plan built to the point that the powers of hell will not be able to overcome them, okay? If you look at, okay, we keep that Matthew 16, 18, the Bible does tell us, let me just turn that, Matthew 16, 18. Matthew 16, 18. Okay, let me just read that. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. I'll explain a bit later, but in this situation, the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, I expect you to reproduce my likeness into the people that you've won to Christ. I read what I have in the notes there. Christ did not expect all men to be saved. He was realistic about the rebellion of men. Not everyone we witness to will become a Christian. He did foresee the day of victory for the church, as some would come to the knowledge of truth. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And there's a price to pay. In order for someone to come to Christ, there's a price to pay for this reproducing of ourselves. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, I was studying this and it's interesting that the word that Jesus used. Okay, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, let's read together. Okay, Acts 1 verse 8, ready? 1, 2, go. But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This is a very familiar passage, but you know the key word here, ye shall be witnesses unto me. What's the word witness? What Greek word do you know it comes from? It comes from the word, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Martyrs. You know, as studying this, I read this, the victory, however, will be gotten at the cost of blood, not the blood, huh? If you're writing, the victory, however, will be gotten at the cost of the apostles' blood, as they became witnesses or martyrs, literally, for the faith. The Lord Jesus actually foresaw that the apostles, being the pillars of the church, would have to give their lives in order for the faith to continue. Okay, just like I've always remembered John Bunyan saying this, how can someone trust the power of the God, the value of the gospel, if their pastor is not willing to suffer for it? And so here, in the same way, we see that in order for the church to grow, in order for people to be saved, there is a price, and sometimes to some people it's a high price. I thank God today we may not need to go through the persecution. Okay? Let's be very clear. As Christians, our job is not to look for trouble. In fact, we are to be peaceful people. Okay? But as a result of our faith, there will be trouble. In our families, sometimes when you try to share the gospel with someone, especially when you first become a Christian, everyone is opposed to you, right? Myself, my wife, I'm sure for you also, some of you, when you make a stand, it becomes a big thing. Alright? So, but there will be a cost. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ expected disciples to reproduce, but He highlighted to them there is a cost. How are they supposed to do it? The next one, true witnessing. Okay, let's turn to Matthew again. Chapter 16, Matthew 16. So just stop me, right, if there's any question. So firstly, the Lord Jesus expected all disciples to reproduce. It's a given. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. I'll just give you the point there. Victory through witnessing, and the basis is the basis of Peter's faith and conviction. For us, when we share the gospel to someone, it must be based on what we believe, not what we have heard. Okay, let me just go through the passage. In Matthew 16, verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." When Simon Peter confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Jesus made it clear to him, the only way you can be fully convicted in your heart is when God opened your heart and you receive and you know clearly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Does that make sense? You realize that every one of us who have received Christ and are saved, God actually had mercy on us to show us the truth and imprint it in our hearts that we can confess Christ as our Savior. And for that, we need to thank God for the rest of our lives. Because there are many people who say, "Yeah, I believe Jesus," but there's no imprint in their lives, okay? So, based on this, Peter was fully convinced regarding the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself. This was not hearsay, but it was a conviction that was based on divine intervention and the illumination of the Holy Spirit in Peter. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can imprint this and illuminate Peter to say that with all conviction. It doesn't mean that he's the most holy person after that, because immediately after the next few verses he fell. But it does mean that he believed in his heart, deep down in his heart. Okay? Now, as a result of that, then comes the next verse in verse 18. What does verse 18 say? And then Jesus says, "And I say, after this happened, and I say also unto you, that thou art Cephas, Peter, upon this rock." What is the rock? What is this rock? What is this rock? Christ, okay? If we, you can put a side note in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10, 5, talk about, and Christ was that rock. Okay, Christ is the rock of our salvation. However, in the passage here, in the context, is the reason why when people join the church, we want them to have a testimony. Jesus says, "You are Peter, but upon this rock, upon the rock of confession that Peter said, you are the Son of God, upon this stable, unchanging conviction that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I will build my church." Which means that this Ambassador Baptist Church must be built on the premise that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If we admit people just because they come from other churches without sharing their faith, we will never know whether they believe that or not. Okay? And that's why after the person shared the testimony as a church, we pray and we are convinced that he's saved. We put our hand in agreement with that. Okay? Now, this is important because here, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I read what I have here. The force of this verse indicates the significance of human initiative to do the task. Peter, you are Peter. In the same way that I have shared with you that I am the Son of God and you received it, upon this confession that you will then bring to other people and for them to then confess that you, I am Christ, upon this fact, I will build my church. I will bring the people in through witnessing. That Peter will have to witness to other people just as he preached in Acts chapter 2 that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you know, this is a very important principle. Peter has been with the Lord up to now. Peter has just made a confession regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. The image of the Lord Jesus Christ has been imprinted into the soul of Peter, and he's able to confess, "I am a Christian because I know and believe that Jesus is the Son of God." The question for us as I stop here to just apply that, do we know deep down in our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God? Because if we don't know that, we can't tell others. It doesn't mean we are the most holy Christian once again, but it does mean that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's a significance to that because if Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then in all our actions, words, and lifestyle, we are accountable to Him, not to me. Because He is the Son of God. He is the authority in our life. Okay? So the impression was imprinted. Now as a result of the knowledge, let's turn to John 17:20. As a result of this knowledge, John 17:20, Jesus made a very clear point in His prayer about where the disciples, or rather what the disciples are to do. Okay? Let's follow along the sequence of thought here. John 17:20, let's read together. It is a high priestly prayer of Christ, okay? John 17:20, let's read there. Ready? 1, 2, go. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. It is going to be through their word, the word of the apostles, that the world will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Yes, we have the testimony to back up the word. But it must be through the word. There was one time I was speaking to someone, and this person is a nun actually, and she was telling me, no, you don't have to tell people that how to be saved. It's through your life that will do. I said, no, sorry. The Bible says we have to share the gospel, otherwise how are they supposed to know the word? Okay? And this thing about lifestyle evangelism, which is essential, your lifestyle must be a testimony to other people. But you know, your lifestyle is basically to back up what you speak, so that people can actually receive Christ. I think it was George Whitfield, those people who know George Whitfield. There was one time he was preaching, and he was invited to a family to stay for the night. And he was a non-Christian, the family wasn't a Christian. But you know, the family was so nice to him, and he didn't want to offend them. You know, sometimes when you don't want to offend people telling you're a sinner and all that. So he was a bit, but you know, the night that he was about to leave the next morning, he was very agitated. You know, he has to share the gospel, but he doesn't know how. He don't want to offend people, which is always a good thing. But you know, sometimes you just have to share the gospel regardless of what they think. But this particular preacher had a problem. How to share the gospel but not offend them? You can't do that. It's very hard. But you know, it's interesting. He actually left that day without speaking a word to the family or what he did, because of the times in England, it's quite cold. The frost and the condensation on the glass. He actually wrote something with regards to salvation. Okay, I can't remember what word he wrote. He wrote something. Unbeknown to him, the family was expecting him to share the gospel with them. But you know what? They were very disappointed as he left without saying anything about the gospel. But you know, as a wife came and said, I knew he would say something to us. And it was true that sharing on that window as he left, that the entire family came to Christ. I know in this situation, it might be this preacher is a coward, he doesn't share. But you know what? In the end, he did in a different way. But the word was given in the different form. But the word, it was the word that the family saw that helped them to trust Christ as their Savior. And you know, we need to share the word of God. Let me ask you, did we share the word to anyone this week in any way, shape or form? To a non-believer? You know, we need to think about that, because Jesus says, I don't pray for these apostles, but I pray for them which shall believe on me through their word. It's the through their word part that's important, because Jesus is praying for people who will get saved because of the word. But if we're not getting out the word, then there's no one that will be saved. Alright? That's why we've printed. For those, please take. We printed 1,000. Okay, those who have taken the leftover, we will go to different blocks to just give up for Friday and Sunday. Here is important. The success of this evangelism is dependent largely on the disciples who follow the plan to reproduce and to teach others to reproduce themselves. This was the way that the church was to grow and to fulfill the plan of God in the world. You know, the early church did that successfully. Everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone went out in their own ways. And I'm proud to say, as a Baptist, you know, the early Baptists, which is not called Baptists, but Albigenses and Donatists and all that, everywhere they went, they brought the Word of God with them. Everyone they came into contact with, whole provinces and villages were changed because of these Baptists that went in and just do their work very hard. They work very hard. But, you know, their lifestyle just, use the word, exuded, you know, the life of Christ just came out from their life so much, to the point that even the Catholics in those villages were so concerned they had to chase the Baptists out. But you know what? people, that damage has already been done. Souls are already saved. I remember the Pastor Sumatra in Agalai, and it was a blessing that we were able to preach to the entire council, the town's workers, about 150 of them. And the mayor was there, the chief inspector was there, and they were very happy that Pastor Sumatra was able to share the gospel with them. That was about November when my family was there. We were able to preach the gospel. But then along came the Catholic. Then Pastor Sumatra suggested that he's going to do a Christmas program for the town. The town was only about 30,000 people, so it's very small. But along came the Catholic priest and say, "No, we're going to have a Catholic mass." And because the mayor was Catholic, chief inspector was Catholic, okay, then he kowtowed to the Catholic priest. But you know what? The entire town was influenced because of someone's testimony. Okay? So the first part is victory through witnessing. It's important for us to understand when Jesus says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me," he meant it. He meant it. All of us who are saved by the power of Christ need to be witnesses, not just at set times, but our lives need to be a witness of Christ, and everything we say need to point to the Lord Jesus. Okay? And then the next one, the main test. Will the disciples be able to do it? Last week, we talked about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, after he sent out the 72, remember? And then they came back, and then the Lord Jesus actually said, "I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven," indicating that I'm seeing the victory of these human instruments because they were trusting God. That even the satanic forces are not able to stand against them. Okay? Let's turn to John 15. Are we able to reproduce fruit in ourselves? John 15. Are we able to reproduce fruit in the ones we love, our loved ones, in our families, our neighbors whom we get in touch with? Are we able to reproduce the likeness of Christ in these people after we get saved? In John 15, verse 1, I'll just read and listen to what Jesus had to say. Remember John 14, 15, and 16 was the final message Jesus preached to his disciples at the Last Supper. That's the final three-chapter message that he preached. And within there, he gave the principle of abiding in him. Okay? Jesus says, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit." This context is not about salvation, it's about a Christian bearing fruit. Okay? So let's set the context properly first. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." I'll explain that a bit later. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." That indicates their salvation, you're clean. In verse 4, "Abide in me," stay with me. The word "abide" means set your camp beside me. Camp beside me. Put all your, as if a resting place, rest beside me, abide in me, and I in you. "As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Jesus uses the illustration from nature, the tree branch, the vine. Okay, I think some of you have seen fruit vines, right? Fruit vines are not, in our mind, we think about the vine as in one straight branch, one straight trunk, then we have all the branches. Remember, the fruit vine is a different one. Okay, fruit vine is a lot of curves, but you know there's a main vine that supplies the nutrition and the water to the different parts of the branches, okay? And Jesus made it clear. He says, "As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Jesus here impressed upon them the necessity and the inevitability of his life reproducing his kind. In other words, Jesus said, if you are to reproduce Christ likeness in your children, if you are to reproduce Christ likeness in the people you follow up, if you are supposed to reproduce my likeness in the lost people as you win them to Christ, you must stay with me. Human opinions, personal thoughts, will not suffice. It will not give you the necessary ingredients to grow to the point that Christ can take control and then show forth His image in you. Okay? So, the purpose of the vine and the branches is to bear fruit. Right? A farmer plants the vineyard, the husbandman, God the Father, plants the vine to bear fruit. And if there is no fruit, what did Jesus say? Then we need to cut it off. If there is no fruit, then we need to cut it off. That's what Jesus said. And then, those that did bear fruit will be then pruned, purged, meaning, for example, some trees may have certain parts that's diseased, but it's producing fruit. The farmer comes in and cut off those diseased parts so that the tree can continue to bear fruit. Continue to bear fruit, okay? I wrote this many years ago in this message, but it still has the point. I just read it. It was clear that the life-sustaining power within the vine was not to be bestowed endlessly upon lifeless branches. I want us to understand this principle. Jesus said that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He will cut off. It shows that Christ has a certain limit for Christians to reproduce fruit. But it comes to a point of time, if they are not choosing to abide in Christ, if they are not choosing to put away things from their lives that are not right, and blocking the life of Christ coming through, if you're not staying with Christ in reading His Word, and allowing His Word to be saturated in our lives, and allowing prayer to come in, and you know what God says? I need to cut it off. It's not producing fruit. It's not producing fruit. The worldliness is coming in, and the life of the world is coming in, and human thoughts are coming in, and the desires of this world is coming in, and this branch is not growing because it's not abiding in Christ. Simply means whatever Jesus said, I receive. Whatever Jesus says, I receive. Whatever Jesus said, I receive. It comes through my system. It changes my mind, changes my heart, and changes my life. And once it changed my life, the vine of Christ comes through me, I become a branch to bear fruit. However, if we choke it with the things of this world, if we choke it with the sins of this world, if we choke it with the world of this world, if we choke it with our own opinions, the life of Christ cannot come true. And that when we hear the message of God, we say, but. The message of God comes, but. And so the life of Christ doesn't flow through. It comes a time that Jesus says, if it doesn't bear fruit, cut it off. And Jesus was referring to Christians. In other words, it is possible for Christians to be placed on the shelf. When was the last time you led someone to Christ and reproduced Christ in that person's life? It was Leonard Ravenhill. Those who know Leonard Ravenhill is an evangelist, revivalist. He said one thing. There are a lot of people who are in hell today because of the sinner's prayer. He said, why? Because many times people say the sinner's prayer to get you off their backs, but they don't understand the gospel at all. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, many times they confess with their mouth, but their heart, they don't understand the gospel. Okay? There is a system whereby you check back and things like that. But you know what? Ultimately, the likeness of Christ needs to be reproduced in this person. And we need to be careful not to be too quick. We need to allow time for the Holy Spirit to work in a person's life. And then, yes, I do want to accept Christ. I'll just share with you, Mr. Tay is one of them. He's come and he loves to come to church and hear the word. But he'll tell me honestly, I'm not saved. I haven't accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm not ready. So, okay, I'm not here to force you, but you know, you need to keep thinking about that. Putting it always before Him, always before Him. And he understood that, was able to share the gospel with him clearly, why sin and why. It's not because of you coming to church that you can get saved, but you know, you need Jesus as your Savior. He said, yes, I understand that, because of sin, because of, but I'm not ready. Let's keep praying for him. Okay, he has a heart to come and maybe he needs friendship. But you know what, let the love of Christ in friendship reach him. Okay? So in this situation, any branch that lives on the vine had to produce fruit to survive. because that was the intended nature. Every Christian need to produce fruit. You cannot say we are Christians, but there is no fruit. Okay? Same way, I cannot say I'm a computer analyst just because I can do PowerPoint. I need to be able to know the whole works, and when called upon, I can show forth the fruit. Okay? So in application, as disciples, we are part of the life of Christ. We are to bear His fruit, not our fruit. Okay? As we are called to be Christians, we are called to then reproduce ourselves. Abiding in Christ is the essential principle for reproducing ourselves. John 15 verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Then in verse 7, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you." My question is, yesterday, I'm sure some of you read the Bible. Can you remember what you read yesterday? Can you remember the message from last week? Can you remember what you've learned 2 days ago? If you can't, the word of Christ did not abide in you. I say that kindly as a pastor. Many Christians today forget God's word when they leave the church, when they read their Bibles. Why? The devil is very smart. The cares of this world come in. You know what you need to do? As you drive to work, as you both take MRT, constantly put Christ in. And just, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. Lord, I memorize one particular verse as you travel. I know there may be things on your mind about your work and the stress of your work. We need to actually just say, Lord, I'm going to put you first. In the first 10 minutes of my ride in the MRT, I want your word to constantly fill me. Write it somewhere. Have a notebook or something, because we are forgetful people. In the army especially, waterproof your Bible. Okay, for those who will go out for training or whatever, have the Bible constantly with you. Write words or notebook, write on your hand if you need to. Maybe you're meditating or abide in me. Just write the three words there as you read. Just look. I had a friend who was my colleague Ping, and my wife know. And I looked at her watch one day, and she has the word P-R-A-Y on her watch. So every time she looks at her watch, it reminds her it's time to pray. Simple things like this, to constantly remind. You know why did, in Deuteronomy 6, why did Moses told the Israelites, you shall write them upon the doorpost of your house and everywhere you walk? And why? Because the goal is to keep on wanting the spiritual input of the word. You know why? The natural man does not want the spiritual words of Christ. We need to constantly put it in there ourselves. How many of you like to jog? Besides fanatics. How many of you like to say, okay, I'll run 6 rounds? Many times we jog and exercise because of necessity. Right? No one was... Well, some people, I'm sure there are some health people who really go out and exercise. But you know what? The normal people, the normal Singaporeans who are so busy, we rather stay in bed. And we'll exercise on a neat basis. We actually have to determine to go to the gym, determine to jog, determine to get the exercise. Yesterday, some of the youth found out they really need exercise because after about 10 minutes, they're like, ah. It was fun. But you know, spiritual things are like that. Spiritual things are like that. We need to constantly... That's why Jesus says, the way to grow is to make sure we abide in Christ. Okay, Brother Johnny, you know, sometimes it's so easy to forget because we are so caught up with the things of this world. What do we do? Set times that after you finish your work, that you would maybe wash up, have a cup of coffee, and say, Lord, I'm just going to spend the next 15 minutes refocusing my thoughts on you, or do something like that. You need to, I share with you about Susanna Wesley, about this mom with 19 children, that she will set time to pray by covering herself. We need those times. That's why Jesus himself also departed into the wilderness, in the desert place to pray. He needs to refocus again. We need that time. In verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. You know, it's not just about we staying with Christ. Oh, I'm the church. I do those things. But you know, it's about the words of Christ abiding in our lives. What did you learn 2 days ago? Can you remember? 3 days ago, this morning, was there words of Christ that abide in us? I'd like us to think through this, because Jesus says it is only through abiding in us, we abiding in Christ and these words abiding in us, that we will bear fruit. In other words, I read a quote somewhere, Satan is not concerned about activity. He's not concerned about service, as long as you don't plug into the power source. We can do all we want, but if you're not plugged into the power source, he doesn't care. Because it's all feverish activity. The world is doing a lot of activities too. As Christians, we need to abide with Christ, which is essential for reproducing. The end result is that disciples must be made. Okay? As we close, the principle applied to our lives. Any questions up to there? Hope this will set us thinking about. You know, the goal is for us to be disciple makers. Can any one of you who are maybe Christians for more than 10 years look at one person that you know, that person grew because of me? That God used me as instrument. Humbly you say, Lord, thank you for using me for this particular person. That we can minister to and help the person grow in Christ. Are the people that we've led to Christ now leading others to do the same? That is the imprint of Christ on the other person. In other words, initially, my thought when I first started as an evangelist and pastor was, well, as long as I stay do Bible study with them, as long as I spend time with them, that's fine. I realized one thing, I need to have a goal. And the end goal is for them to become like Christ. To become like Christ, to live, that they will begin to study the Bible more for themselves, they will begin to ask spiritual questions more, they will begin to have a lifestyle that say, hey, I want to go tracting too, I want to learn how to read the Bible, I want to learn how to tell someone about Christ, I want to reach out, I want to honor my parents more, living like Christ, we obey. Are we reproducing ourselves? You know, I've learned this. In order for that to do, we need to engage that person, we need to be with that person, association. Yet we say, well, Johnny, you know, I don't have time. There's a cost to pay. If we're concerned about someone, we will give all our time for that person. The Bible says in Galatians 4:19, my little children, Paul says, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. You know, one of the things, I won't hide it, and I hope as parents we have this for our children too, that we will labor with all of our hearts so that Christ can be formed in our children. I'm not talking about the world system. I'm not talking about how the world thinks. I'm not talking about the meritocratic system we have. I'm not talking about, they will get it anyway from this world. We need Christ to be formed in these people, and the only way is through concerned youth leaders, concerned children's leaders, concerned parents who will say, my life of Christ is to be reproduced in my children. Okay, the measure of a church's success is not how many souls are won to Christ, but how many converts are now active soul winners and disciples. That is the measure that we need to measure Ambassador Baptist Church with. So what if we have 1,000 people? I learned some time ago from a preacher who says that there are some churches with thousands of people, and the preacher said there's a difference between a crowd in a church. A crowd is a group of curious people. A church is a group of disciples. Okay? The measure of a church success is not how many souls are won to Christ, but how many converts are who are then active soul winners and disciples. We need men and women to be endued with power from on high. We need men and women who will say, look, I have followed Jesus Christ. I am in obedience to His word. And I want Christ's life to be manifested in my life. Brother Johnny, it's very hard. It is a lifetime process, but it takes the small steps of faith, more steps that we say, Lord, this is how I'm going to live my life to honor you. Okay? We need men who are better men. We need women who are better women, who knows God more than hearsay. You know what that does that mean? So what someone talk about Christ, and so I'm telling you about what someone says. No, someone who knows Jesus personally. Let me ask you a question. In any situation, can you honestly say, if you know God, this is how He will respond? Do you have experiences with God that you can actually point out, I know the character of God in this situation. I know He will do this. And you're fully confident. We need men and women who says, yes, this is what God will do. Because the Bible said so, my experience, and I know Him personally, His character is like this. Example, would God tolerate rock music in the church? Would He tolerate that? Do you think a God of holiness will tolerate rock music? No, you don't even have to pray about it. It's no. Would you think that God would tolerate rock music in your life? Do you think God will tolerate that? You know, in your character, you need to know who God is and say, no, God will not. And therefore, I will not too. Okay? So as we conclude, we've gone through the eight principles. Any questions? Any questions? It's very important because by God's grace, we will be able to understand these principles of selection. Remembering that as Christians, we are the select of God, the elect of God, that we can do His work. The question I want to ask a few questions based on the principle number one, selection. Are we saved? Have we trusted Christ as our Savior? And then, following on to that, do we hear the voice of God calling us to follow Him? For every Christian that has been truly saved, there will come a time in your life that God will say to you, follow Me. Follow Me. Peter was saved when Andrew caught him. Remember? Many months later, Matthew chapter 4:19, Jesus looked at Peter and said what? Follow Me. And I will make you to become fishes of men. Okay? That's one. Because unless we follow Christ, we cannot get someone else to follow Christ. Okay? Number one. Then after that, association, the second principle. Are we spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ? How long are we spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ? And how often are we then spending time with the converts that we try to win? The next one is consecration. Are we consecrating ourselves in obedience to God? Because if we are not obedient to God in His Word, we cannot get someone else to be obedient to God. That's such a conflicting principle for me as pastor. If I can't obey God totally, I can't get you all to obey. But you know, the principle, generally all of us, what I'm saying, all of us need to work at reproducing this in our lives. Obedience to God. And then impartation. Are we receiving the life of Christ into our own life as He imparts it into our life? In other words, as Jesus teaches us to love one another, as He showed by His example of how He died on the cross, how He cared for the widow of Nain, when He walked through and realized this widow had no one else in the world, and He would stop the entire funeral procession and say, son, get up, and bring the child back to the... Do we see the compassion of Christ and then say, Lord, if that is You, I want that life too. And you allow Christ, say, Lord, help me to love this person that I cannot stand. You know? And then to see, Brother Johnny, how to love someone you cannot stand? Obey Christ. Obey God. See, the principle is obedience. Obedience is minus emotions, minus everything. Just obey, you know. As soldiers, you're called to war, means you go to war. You don't care how you feel. You're called to go, you go. But as you go, God will give the grace. I've learned one thing. If you don't like someone, you know what you do? Pray for that person. In 3 weeks, you love him. You cannot pray for someone without loving that person in the end. Pray for that person. Okay? Impartation. Are we receiving the life of Christ in our own life? Do we have the principles of Christ in our life so that we can impart to the people? You know, it's a soul searching for all of us as parents. Do we have the principles of Christ of love and compassion and long-suffering that when our children look at our lives and say, yeah, that's the kind of principle I want. Next one is demonstration. Are we learning from the model and image of Christ that when Christ do things a certain way, that it may not be even be a principle that He's teaching, but because Jesus did that, I want to be like Christ. I want to do what He does. He went about doing good. I also want to always look out for opportunities that I can do good. Example, are we modeling the life? Because only when we model life and image of Christ consistently, our young person looking at us can then see, hey, the person that's following me out, taking care of me, is modeling Christ. And, oh, that's what Jesus would do in this situation. Oh, he was badly offended by the person. But you know what? Jesus reacted in a certain way, and he reacted in a certain way. I want to learn that too. The modeling of Christ's behaviors. All right? FBI, they're going through the character of Christ, which is an excellent thing. Okay. The next one is delegation. Are we involved in some work for the Lord? Are we involved in some work for the Lord? If not, then we cannot show our young convert what it means to serve God. You know, when you serve the Lord, a few things happen. Number one, it shows obedience. Number two, you will be exposed to sacrifices you need to make for the work of Christ. Yes? You know, that will challenge us with regards to what we learned and then what we are to do. It helps us to grow. Okay, I've been reading some quotes from this particular evangelist. He said this, we don't grow by studying the Bible. We grow by conflict. As we take the Word of God in, we then face up to the reality. Many of the doctors will tell you, they have textbook answers, but when they face a situation, it's like, there's no standard answer. You just have to ask for wisdom to apply what you know to this particular patient to help him. God has given us principles that will work. But you know what? Sometimes the principles goes against the very grain of our thinking. Will we still be willing to say, Lord, I will obey you above my thought. And so as you serve the Lord, and then you know what? Then firstly, it's the obedience. Then it's the sacrifice. Then it's the perseverance. Because some of the work don't have results immediately. You know, I'm encouraged by people who keep going out week after week. You know, sometimes it's quite dismal in my heart. I say, Pastor, I ask myself, Lord, how do I encourage these people when going out? There's no results. I'm thankful that people say, we just keep going because we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful. You know, Jesus was not a very successful evangelist by world standards. He only had 120 followers in 3 days. Three and a half years. By contrast, Peter had 3,000 in the first message. But you know what? The Lord Jesus was very clear. He modeled his life into 12 other disciples. And they went on to win the world for Christ. And that's something that we need to learn. When we serve God, God changes us. I think we all know, when we teach, when we serve, we change. We learn more. Christians, we need to do that. Because when we are serving, then we can help the younger ones. You know, when the children follow their parents to serve, I'm thankful. And I think some of you do that. You know what the children is seeing? The children is seeing service to Christ in action. And our attitudes, the way we do things as we serve Christ, will then translate as they do the same too. Okay? And then lastly, reproduction. Are we reproducing ourselves in Christ? And are we preparing others to reproduce themselves? Can I say this? Our Christian life is not to be lived for our own. Yeah, we want to be more Christ-like, but our ultimate goal is the imprint of Christ must go on to someone else. We leave that legacy to someone else. Okay? So, as we close this whole session, and then I'll just give you about a few minutes of what we will do. What are we going to do with your life? We can try different methods, but principles are timeless, meaning that we will have to have these principles in our lives that we have learned. I hope you're keeping these notes. It's actually on the internet, I believe. We need to give time. We need to encourage. And any attitudes and reactions of the flesh and their carnal must be dealt with decisively. Any offensive personal habits, unfounded prejudice, anything that will be an impediment to progress with the Lord, we must deal with as a growing Christian. And then we have to work with a young Christian to help him to become more and more like Christ, with the ultimate goal that he will then lead someone else. What are we going to do? For next week, evangelistic meeting, this is personal challenge. We cannot actually have You know, sometimes this is what we will do. Next week we'll have the Easter evangelist outreach. And number one, I'd like us all as a church to pray. Pray for people that you will bring. Okay, pray for people that you will bring. And then maybe as you brought a person, seek out one or two individuals that you say, Lord, that man or that lady, I will sit with the person. And God use me as an instrument. It could just be a friend. Alright, and sometimes it's a bit threatening to, once the person come, you... But you know what, that may be the first and last time you may have to share. But you know, if God works on heart, share gently the gospel with him. Next week, for information, the film show is about, I can't remember, about 1.5 hours. It involves the crucifixion of Christ. There's English and Chinese. The children will also apparently have their own outreach as well. Okay, they have really printed pamphlets as well. Okay, the pamphlets are here. So you can give the children, okay? And they're going to have their own. So pray for one person as you'll be watching the movie. Pray in your heart constantly for this person. Say, Lord, give me boldness to at least talk to the person, share with him, okay? And then, if the Lord opens the door and you find that person is quite... You invite the person to have lunch with him. We're going to order lunch. Have lunch with the person. Just keep talking, make friends. And maybe the most important thing after that, you say, can I meet you sometime in the week? Or maybe I can call you or communicate. I know someone is supposed to communicate in some way so that you keep up that. And you know, it's interesting. One of the principles of a follow-up is that we need to contact the person within 48 hours of the first contact to keep it going. And we need the entire church to be involved. Why don't you be tired? Just one person. It could be your own relative that come, that you just focus on, or it could be a friend. And sometimes you can change relative, not change relative, but you know, you sit with someone else's relatives. And then, in your mind, you say, Lord, is this a selected person you want me to work with? Then you apply the selection process. And after that, you go to association. The Lord, help me to work with this person. You know, it could be after 3 weeks, the person don't want to contact you. Fine, leave him, go somewhere else, or do something else to someone. Alright, it's very important. You know, this is what we need to practice as a Church of Christ. So next week, Lord willing, we will have the people. Okay, please take some of the cards here. The Chinese one, I think, is with Sir Shaoling and Robin Kong. I think they want to make some corrections. We have about 300 of the Chinese ones. You take whatever you want. Okay, then Tuesday and Wednesdays, we'll go out to selected blocks. Okay, brother Robert, maybe you can designate some blocks and a number of cards. And then we just need some people to put those cards in. And one of the things you can do, just take a stack for your own block. Wherever you see it, just put it in your block. Take about 100 or 50 or whatever. Okay? But any questions? Any questions? As we close, how many of us will eventually follow Christ totally? Because if we follow Christ, you will become a soul winner. You will become a disciple. You will find that in the New Testament, that's what happens. You know, in the modern day Christianity, there are many directions of the Christian life now. You know, even in NS now, I was reading yesterday, very interesting. Now they're trying to tailor-made NS to fit what kind of personality you are. I don't want to be infantry. I think some of the more so-called dangerous vocations will get shrunk down, I think. I don't know. Some more jialat one, you know, will get shrunk down. You know, that's the world the way it's going. I just want to serve in areas that I want to serve. That is not biblical Christianity. Can I tell you straight off? God has endued us with spiritual gifts that we serve. But God says we need to have all the 7 gifts. And we need to obey all of them in our Christian life. A servant doesn't choose the area he serves. A servant serves where Christ, the Master, tells him to serve. And it's interesting, as we are obedient, God will begin to move you to the area that he has for you. Brasso was a pilot, sorry. And his goal is to, he can serve in missionary aviation. He will fly these little planes to different places and send supplies. God says, no, you go to China. I say, huh? But you know what? God, through him, reaches hundreds of Chinese folks, communist Chinese folks, every year. And Chinese is not his forte, by the way. Those of you have heard him preach. Even his wife laughed at him the first few times he preached. But you know what? I thank God for a missionary like him because it shows what God is not interested in our abilities. He's interested in saying, are you willing? Are you willing to go? Thank God if you have the abilities, it makes it easy. But God is saying, are you available? And hopefully, when it comes to the crunch, we'll be willing to say, Lord, I'm your servant. Whatever you tell me to do, I will. Okay, any questions as we close? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, I'm not too sure what you're going to do in the lives of the church members, even in my own life. But Lord, together, collectively, we do say, Lord, we want to follow you. Lord, we want to follow you because you have loved us. Father, I'm praying for your Holy Spirit to impress the need to follow you wholeheartedly from John chapter 15. That we will be, Lord, the branch that will not be cut off, but the branch that will be willing to endure purging and pruning in order for us to become more and more like you. Father, for the sake of our children, for the sake of the next generation, for the sake of the younger ones that come, for the sake of non-believers that will come in and step in and see how we live, for the people who have been visitors for many, many, many months and Lord, have not made a decision for Christ, for the many Christians who have come and visited but have not taken the step of baptism. Perhaps it is all that, Lord, you're working in our hearts to be that person to reach out and say, would you be baptized? Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts. Because souls are still unsafe. And God, unless we would transfer the word to them and you working through us and in us, Father, they will still remain unsafe. Lord, I think of our loved ones. Many of them, Lord, are still on the verge of decision, but God, we need you to change their hearts. For the people that will come in this Friday and Sunday, Lord, I ask you, your Holy Spirit, to do a work too. Lord, as we think on these 8 principles, Father, I ask you to permanently, Lord, imprint these 8 principles into the mind of ambassador. That every one of us will be a Christian that will grow, that, Lord, our lives will be represented in the life of someone else who has just gone safe, and they become a soul winner for Christ as well. Just like you gave your boldness and your spirit to Peter and the apostles as they went forward and then, Father, won thousands to Christ. Lord, we're not looking at those incredible big things that we just want, Lord, to do the small things you've told us to do and do it faithfully. But Lord, if there's someone whom you're calling to the mission field, there's someone who you're calling to the pastorate, if there's someone who you're calling to do your work full time, I pray, Lord, you will give that person no rest till he take active steps to follow you in this area. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We ask your Holy Spirit to guide us. Commit the service into your hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.